All right, morning. As I seek to prepare for today, I had a lot of struggles on how to present the one message that I was convinced, I was sure that I was to bring forward. And this picture kept coming because this is the only thing I'm able to do when we're done today, is leave this picture grave in your souls. I think I did a good job. I think I accomplished what I felt the Lord wanted me to do today. So with that picture there, let's go ahead and pray. Father, help me, Lord. Lord, my desire is to help your people, to glorify you. So, Father, here I am. Use me. Let's go to Psalm 147:9. In Psalm 147:9, we had the psalmist sharing with us something that is precious, something that is so true. It says, "He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young raven that cry." Brothers and sisters, this is very fragile. This picture here, look, their eyes are not even open. They're still, you can see their skin. They don't have even feathers. They're weak. They're actually ugly. But look at what one thing they're doing. They are crying, and their mouths are open with expectation that their mother, their father will provide. They're helpless. They're weak. They're pathetic. Yet they're crying. And their mouths are open. That's good, brother. You can turn back the lights. As a Christian, this is who we are. We're weak. We're unable to fly on our own. We are pathetic. But yet, we have a mighty, all-powerful God that tells us that we can cry out to Him as Father. So remember, last time I had the privilege to share with you on a Sunday school. We were in Luke 11, and we talked about the prayer when the disciples came to the Father, and they asked Him, came to the Lord, and they asked Him, "Teach us how to pray." And the one thing that we made emphasis was that He told them, when you pray, you must have this reality presence in your life. You're not longer out of the temple, but now you are in the presence of God, and this God is your Father. So let's don't forget that image, right? We're weak, helpless, crying out to the one who is able to supply our every need. And this one is your Father. All that was not on my notes. So, let's start here. Let's go to Psalm 141:2. My title today is a prayer that is acceptable to God. And I want you to see that David had this in mind. He knew that there was a prayer that was acceptable to God. So in Psalm 141:2, he says, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of hands as the evening sacrifice." Let my prayer, let my cry be acceptable to you. Let it go up to your presence and be like incense. Let it be an acceptable fragrance before you. Let my prayer be such that you will hear it and that you will accept it. Revelations gives us, in Revelations, John takes us to heaven and he let us see what's going on in heaven. And one of the things that we can see is found in Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8. And it says, "And when he," Jesus, "has taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." They fell down before him. His glory, they fell down as an act of worship, of acknowledgement of who he was or who he is. And each one was holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. This was a presence. This was an offering. They fell down in worship and they brought forth an acceptable offering to the Lord, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was giving much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." Scriptures tells us that there is a prayer that is so precious before God, that is an offering that is presented to him and is acceptable to him before his throne. So brothers, we're talking about prayer. And the question is, what is prayer? What should I pray? Or what should I, or how should I pray? Or in what position should I pray so my prayer will be acceptable before God? All these questions go through our minds. You may have asked these questions yourself, or you may have someone that will come to you and ask these questions, a new believer or someone that is starting their walk, and they want to know. I see in Scripture, hey, our prayers are before God. They are an acceptable offering. So help me here. What should I pray that would be acceptable before God? Or how should I pray? Or what position or what? What is the secret so that I can pray and that will be acceptable before God? So somebody may come to you and ask questions. So what do you do? Will you Google it? Well, I did. And it was confusing. It was so confusing. You know that there is, according to some experts, there are many different types of prayers. There is five types of prayer. You know that? Well, in reality, there is five or six types of prayer. Well, maybe seven or eight. It all depends who you ask, who is the expert that is giving you the information. So to me, that was confusing. I said, okay, so if I want to pray and I want to be acceptable before God, I want my prayer to be something that He will hear, He will give His attention, He will move on my behalf, He will answer. How should I pray? Well, best-selling books tell you 6, 5, 7, 8 different type of prayer. So which one do I use? What method do I use? I didn't know there is a lot of different methods of how to pray. One that is very popular is called, it uses the acronym ACTS. And this is what it says. Each letter stands for a specific aspect of prayer arranged in a very natural order. So the one presenting this prayer method is presented to you because according to him, there is a natural flow if you follow this method on how we should approach God. So according to him, the natural way for us to approach God is acts. A, adoration, worship. That's the first thing that should come up. Second step should be confession of specific sins. Then thanksgiving or gratitude. And lastly, supplication. Now you present your petition. So, if we listen to this and we do a little bit more research, there are others that tell you, but it's very important how you posture yourself when you pray. Some says you should pray kneeling down. Others say you should pray prostrated because that's the most humble position that you can have. Others say you should find a position that is so uncomfortable so you won't fall asleep. So we put all these things together and we tell the person who came to us and asked us, hey, can you help me? How can I pray that is in a way that is acceptable to God? And then we will tell them, well, you must take time to worship God. You can sing a song, or you can tell him how great he is first. And second, you must confess your sins. But hey, don't be general, be specific. And third, give thanks to God for all the good things he has done for you. And lastly, make your petition, because now, after you have given adoration, you have made your confession, and you have thanked him, now he is ready to hear your petition. But when you do this, when you go to pray, stand up, find small pebbles, put it inside your shoes, and step on them so it's so painful. Well, maybe you can kneel down, put some rice and kneel on it so it's so painful that you won't fall asleep like the disciples did in Gethsemane. And that prayer will be acceptable to God. Brother, that sounds funny, but it's not. It's actually sad. It's actually heartbreaking. Because that's not what we learn in Scripture about prayer. There is nothing wrong with having a guy. There is absolutely nothing wrong with us following some of these instructions. But the problem is that they're missing the essential part of prayer. They're missing the one element that makes our prayer acceptable to God. We have this reality in Scripture. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. People teach this stuff from books, and they guarantee you your prayer will be answered. Brothers, unless we come to understand what Jesus is teaching us about prayer, and unless our cry to the Lord is birth of this one essential element that He instructs us, your prayer life will have a reality of hearing over and over and over again the words of James. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Brothers, Christ shows how to ask, how to pray to the Lord, so that this reality that many face in their lives will not be a reality in our lives. That when we ask, God will answer, because we ask rightly. How confident are you that God will answer your prayers? Can you have assurance that God will hear you and He will answer your prayer? 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14 tells us, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence? Can you pray knowing that He hears you? And because He hears you, He will answer. Brothers, the Lord wants us to have that assurance. Look, He's giving us another example. We saw Luke 11, and we will be there soon. But let's go to Luke 18, verse 9. And look at what the Lord is teaching us about prayer. He's giving us another model. And I want to start here because here it's not that clear what is the essential element of prayer. But I want to lay this foundation. Look at Luke 18:9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contentment. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So here we have thanksgiving. God, I thank you. And even confession. The Pharisee is making a confession. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. He makes more confession. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. And he even offered praises and adoration. You see it? I am so wonderful, so good. I am not like this tax collector. See, the elements are there. Yet, Christ is setting forth this example for us as a prayer that is not acceptable to God. Let's look at 18:13. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you see it? Here we have another example of a model prayer given to us by the Lord Jesus. What can we learn from it? You may say we learn that the right posture we have is to stand far off and don't lift our eyes to heaven. But no. The right posture is a spiritual posture. He humble himself before God. Does this prayer have adoration? Yes. Adoration. Standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but be his breast. Lord, you are holy, holy, holy. Same thing that Revelation shows is happening today, right now, before the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy. Tax collector recognized he was approaching a holy one. And his adoration was in humbling before him. And his attitude showed that. Standing far off, not even lifting up his eyes. Though this prayer has confession. Yes, I'm a sinner. Though this prayer has supplication. Yes, be merciful to me. Can you see the essential element that must be present in a prayer that is acceptable before God? It is not that clear yet here. Let us go to Luke 11. Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Christ started telling them, when you pray, pray like this. And he gave them the basic things that you compose, that should be part of their prayer. But he's not done teaching. See, here now, he's moving to what I believe is the essential element in a prayer that is acceptable to God. And he said to them, verse 5, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and said to him, friend, lend me. Friend, give me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine have arrived on a journey and I have nothing. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Lord, teach us how to pray. And what did he move to do? He moved to show them how to ask, how to beg, how to cry out for their needs. Brother, prayer is asking. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is coming to your Father, who is able to give you and supply everything that you need, because you do not have anything and you need him to give you everything. So prayer is coming to your Father, recognizing that you are in need, and presenting to him your needs so that he can supply and provide everything that you lack and need. Prayer. Teach us how to pray. And he's teaching them how to ask. There are many different needs that we have. Now I start to come in agreement with the experts that I found on Google. There are 5, 6, 7, 8. There are many different needs. There is only one type of prayer. One. And it's the cry of a son expressing his deepest need to the only one that is able and capable to satisfy it. We continue. What father, verse 11, what father among you, if his son ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Go with me to Matthew 6, the parallel of this Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. See? They're being hypocrites. You know why? Because a prayer that is offered to the Lord must be a prayer that is seeking the Lord to move on your behalf to supply your need. But they're hypocrites, because that's not what they're doing. They're seeking the reward of men, not of God. They're seeking to satisfy their need of attention and self-exaltation from men. A Pharisee, we just saw it on Luke 18. Same thing, a hypocrite. But you are not to be like that. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He will grant your need. He will supply your requests. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Brothers and sisters, it is good to have methods, aids, systems. It is good to have acts. But brothers, it is not the many words that we utter. It is not the empty repetitions, but the single cry out to Lord expressing your deepest need. For they think that they will be heard from their many words. Do not be like them. Why? For your Father knows what you need before you pray, before you ask Him. So you see how Christ is moving in answering the question, Lord, teach us how to pray. And He moved to show them how to ask, how to petition. He gives them the assurance that when they ask, when they cry out, they're crying out to a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is their Father, who loves them and will provide and is capable of supplying every need they have. And then He tells them, ask. Cry out. What do you need? And you don't have to come with a lot of fancy words, because He already knows what you need. And He's ready. He just wants you to ask. Why? Adoration. When you come and you ask, you're exalting God. You worship Him. And not yourself. Why do you don't pray? Because you don't see your need. Because you think that you are self-sufficient. Because you think you can do it on your own. That's not honoring to God. That's not putting God in the right place. That's putting yourself in the place that belongs to Him. So when you pray, when you humble yourself, when you cry out expressing your needs, you're worshiping God. Because you're declaring that He is God and you're not. That you need and He doesn't. That you lack and He hath. So prayer in itself, it's adoration. It's worship. So you see why you don't need a lot of fancy empty words? All you need is to humble yourself and recognize your need and that He is the one that can supply it. In another place, Jesus continued teaching His disciples how to pray. Please go with me to Luke 17. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20. We see Jesus talking about the realities of the coming of His kingdom. And in verse 20, He says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, He answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And in light of this reality, He continued teaching them about prayer in a parable. So let's move on to 18:1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but after he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keep bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by the continual coming, the continual asking. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? What are they doing day and night? They're crying to him for justice. They're crying day and night for him to supply what they don't have, what they need. Will he delay longer over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? You see how he's still talking about chapter 17? You see how the reality of the kingdom of God coming should move the disciples, the believer, to be constant in prayer? Says right here, he's tying it back to verses 20 and 21 of chapter 17. It's continuing. This reality, brothers and sisters, the reality that the Lord is coming should have such a way in us that it should help us see how weak and unprepared we are on our own to receive his coming kingdom, and how desperate we are for him to move in our behalf and supply our needs. So we continue and we move to verse 9 on Luke 18. And the question is, does this look familiar? This is where we started. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. We don't need to concentrate on the Pharisee anymore. Let's jump to verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, give me what I need. I need your salvation. I need your mercy. I need to be set free from my sin. God, be merciful to me and save me from my sin. Only you can save me. I come to you. Yes, I am far off. I can even lift up my eyes to heaven, but I still ask from you. Please, Lord, give me what I need. You see it now? A prayer that is acceptable to God. It's a prayer that expresses the deepest need of the sons of God, recognizing that only He can satisfy it. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Did he receive what he asked for? Yes. Prayer is a cry to God to supply our needs. A cry of one who recognizes he is unable to provide, to reach on his own what he needs apart from the mercy of God. Look in the same chapter. We can see it. Go to verse 35. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What? Jesus of Nazareth, son of David? He and only he can provide what I need so desperate. Only he can supply my need. So what did he do? He cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He was desperate. He knew his need. And he knew who can satisfy it. And he cried out. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But how can I keep silence? How can I stop calling to him? Cry out to him. He and only him can help me. So what did he do? But he cried out the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him. Oh, he asked him. He asked him. God is asking. What do you need? Or what do you want me to do for you? Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. God gets glory when we cry out to him, confessing that only he can supply our needs. And when he does it, he gets more glory, not only from us, but from those looking. Brother, we ought to be a people of prayer. We ought to be a people that cries out all the time, confessing our weaknesses. We have more examples of this all over, brothers. Go with me to Matthew 14. This is actually one of my favorites. Matthew 14, 30. It's one of the shortest prayers in the scriptures. Peter, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and begin to sink. Peter, standing in the boat, in the midst of the wind and the storm, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ walking on water. He asks the Lord to command him to go and walk. He starts walking. And Peter, walking on the water, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Three words. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Brothers, stop right there. Lord, save me. He cried out. He saw his need. He saw there is only one that could save him. But yet, look at what Christ tell him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Little faith, Peter. Doubting Peter. His prayer was answered. Lord, save me. He saw his need. He saw the reality that he was sinking and there was only one that could save him. And he cried out to this one. And the Lord saved him immediately, despite his little faith and doubt. Next chapter, 15, verse 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Jesus, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Canaanite woman, "Lord, help me." Three words. "Jesus, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The argument on her prayer. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Yes, Lord, I am but a dog and I can do nothing. I am helpless. I am a dog. I am nobody. I am nothing. But you, oh you are my hope. You must feed me. You must provide for me. You must or I die. You must or I have no other hope. You must. You must move on my behalf. You must. You are my only hope." That was her answer. She was a dog. She was a crying bird with no feathers, no eyes, weak. Crying to the one that can supply her need. Jesus, verse 28, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. "Peter, you of little faith. Oh woman of great faith." It's not about their faith. It's about where is their faith. Where have they taken the little or great faith that they have and deposited? Where is their deposit? When you pray, say, "Father." Where is your deposit? To whom are you praying to? Does he care? What matters is who are you crying out to with the faith that you have. It's not how much faith you have, but whatever faith you have, who are you crying to? Where are you taking it to? John 14:13 tells us, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it for you." It's not how much faith you have, little like Peter or great like the woman, but what matters is Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever will draw near to God must believe. Little faith, great faith. Any faith at all is belief. That he assists and he rewards, he delights in move in behalf of those who approach and seek him. then a prayer that is acceptable to God is a son calling on his Father constantly, without losing heart, casting all anxieties and cares on the Father, because we know we have this confidence, this assurance that He cares for us and He hears all our prayers, all our call, all our petitions. 1 Thessalonians 15:17. Don't go there. I'm going to read a couple real quick. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So brothers and sisters, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, give thanks in all of them. Why? Because this is the will of God for you. Yet, pray without ceasing. It does not mean you stop asking God to supply what you need in that circumstance. That is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, because you still need Him to supply the strength, the wisdom, the answer, so that you can continue giving thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 6:18 gives us a very helpful insight. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. All God's children are in need of a mighty God on their behalf. We all are weak, and we are desperate for Him to move, sustain us, provide in all circumstances. That's why we are, with all prayer and supplication, keep alert and persevering. We must pray in order to persevere. We cannot persevere, we cannot move forward unless we are begging the Lord to help us. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, what do you need? Let your request be made known to God. Known to Him. Why? Because only Him can supply. Only Him can answer. Only Him can sustain us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers, we have this reality in Scripture. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do all to the glory of God. Scripture teaches us that apart from God, you can do nothing to the glory of God. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, nothing means nothing. Whatever you are doing without depending on God is something you're doing to your own glory. Whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And you cannot do anything to the glory of God unless you are asking in prayer to Him to help you, to sustain you. Brother and sister, you did something great, awesome. Brother, that was awesome. Brother, to the glory of God. To the glory of God, did you pray? Did you depend on Him? No, it was not to the glory of God. It was to your own glory. Brother, this is our greatest enemy. We are self-reliance. It is my greatest enemy, mine. I'm speaking for myself. I do not pray because I think that I can do it, that I'm sufficient. And you do not pray because you think you're sufficient on your own. But we must be dependent. We must be a branch, clean through prayer to the vine. Because it's the only way that we can do anything to His glory. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and wither. And the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire and burned. You will be burned if you don't learn to live a life in total dependence of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. Ask. Whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. How can we abide in Him? This will take several more messages for us to understand. But I leave you with this. There's two realities that Christ gave us. John 16:7. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. So how do we abide? We abide as we rely on the Helper that has been given to us. As we learn to rely on the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to be a people who are in constant prayer, depending on God, our Father. And that is why, brothers and sisters, when the disciples come to Christ and ask Him, teach us how to pray, He left them with this reality. Luke 13:11. Jesus told us what our first petition should be right here. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You cannot live the Christian life without dependence on the Spirit of God, who is our Helper and who has given to us. Therefore, you must ask God to help you abide in Him, relying on the Helper. You must ask God to constantly help us, supplying the Spirit in our own lives. Brother, can you put that picture again? Brothers and sisters, we are weak. We are crying babies. We are unable to do anything on our own strength for the glory of God. We must learn to walk in dependence of the Helper and seeking to cry out to God to supply our every need. This is us. This is the Christian life. weak, helpless, unable to supply and abide on our own, but crying out in expectation for our Father to supply our needs. Let us pray. Father, it is through the witness of your Spirit, Lord, that we do come to you with confidence that you are our Father and that you care for us. Lord, that you hear us. Father, help us be known as a people that depend and trust in the living God. May our prayer be acceptable before you, Lord. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.